It's June. That means that the preparation for the big descent upon Los Angeles is deferred for another year, at least. Even without the annual pilgrimage of media, studios, hopefuls, and personalities, there is still plenty of news coming down the pipe. Less of it now before the avalanche that is the keynotes by console manufacturers and other large parties next week. This is the first of two annual thematic intros. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you about the gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 917 of our show for tonight, June 5th of 2022. My name is Rob Roberts, and not joining us tonight, sadly, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She is off tonight as she was helping a friend move all the way to Illinois. What a good friend to move across halfway across the country. But I believe she's traveling back tonight, but I just don't think she gets back by showtime. So we do have here joining us tonight, as always, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Great. I have to ask about this. So, of course, we do tape live Sunday nights at VOG Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network. That's Voice of Geeks Network. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Say that three times fast. Right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Now, Bobby is good enough to have us on his show every week, right at the end of the show, to do like a little, you know, toss across call like they do on some news shows, basically. Like, stay tuned. This is what's coming up. And the subject of like naming kids after video game or movie characters came up. And Bobby and I kind of both landed on the same page of, well, we're not having kids, so this is really a non-issue. Our pets, maybe, but so far, not really. But Loki, you are a parent, and you have children who are not named after video game characters. But
one sort of.
Oh?
Like, but not really. It's the grandparent's name, but shares, you know.
Oh, got it. But you had mentioned that you were considering at one point giving them the middle name Vader. And it was like, wait a minute. I never heard this.
Just my oldest son.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were kind of figuring out, well, what should the middle name be? You know, because we have like a, you know, they have to be named after someone who is dead. So like, their first name has to start with like a letter of someone that's dead in the family. Mm-hmm. And then the middle name is just kind of whatever. So I think Nelly was the one that suggested that first.
That sounds like people may think it was your idea, but I'm like, oh no, it was the wife. It was Mrs. Loki for sure.
Yeah, and then somehow we settled on something not that, but like, I don't know. It was something that was definitely being tossed around for, you know, a little bit.
Okay. I think the whole like names that almost were stories are very interesting for some reason. I mentioned this on Bobby's show, but I was very like, my name was changed at the last second, the day of. My name was originally supposed to be Brad. But they changed it, which is funny if you know, you know, consider my involvement in the Rocky Horror Picture Show and the parts I played years later. But it's just, you know, it's one of those things where they changed it so I could be named after both my grandparents instead of just one. So it's interesting. So
yeah, and then of course, you know, my youngest son, he has, you know, and I think I've mentioned this when he was born, like so his middle name is Layton, which is kind of like Professor Layton.
Oh, how
but
funny.
Not
okay.
It's not really meant for that.
Okay,
but yeah,
fair enough. All right, so what is of course, since we do tape live on Twitch, sometimes you can either see a webcam background or you can see a video game green screen background in Loki's case, and I'm not sure I recognize the game playing behind you tonight. It looks like an Indiana Jones sort of thing, but what is that playing behind you tonight?
Not Indiana Jones.
What is it?
That's Hopper.
Oh, it's the Stranger Things game.
Yeah, it's a Stranger Things game.
Oh, see, I didn't really play it, to be honest. So, well, I play Stranger Things in Dead by Daylight, but yeah, that's, yeah. Okay. It's Hopper. How could I miss that? Okay, I got it. Is this because you recently watched season 4, which I still haven't watched?
Yeah,
no spoilers.
Season 4, part 1,
oh, yeah,
yes.
I forgot. They're holding on to two episodes.
Well, yeah. Was it part 2, I hear, is like two episodes. So
well,
like,
but okay, it's apparently like two movie-length episodes, so it's still pretty...
I mean, some of the episodes are pretty long in the first half. Yeah. I mean, there's one that was like almost an hour and a half. So I don't know.
Well,
yeah, it's good.
I'll get around to seeing it at some point, but I canceled Netflix. So it's like, oh, now I got to either borrow a login or, you know, other ways. But it's just bad timing, I guess, on that. But I haven't been in a huge, you know, with all the other stuff that's been going on lately, I just haven't really sat down to watch a lot of TV shows except Drag Race, All Stars, All Winners. That's the only show I've really made time for. So, all right. Let's get into some of the week's news in video games, of which there was plenty, because even though there's no E3 this year, we still have some interesting things that are timed around E3, such as Sony's State of Play, which we'll start talking about tonight. Although I don't know about you, Loki, like I know you want to get into some of the weeds of what they announced. We can talk about that. But I mean, yes, there were some big announcements. And I'm not saying it was bad by any means. I thought, especially for like compared to most State of Plays, it was pretty meaty. Like they had some really big announcements there. It was good. I just didn't think it was a replacement for an E3 show that they usually do.
No.
But it was.
I don't know if that. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, but when you think about it, like a lot of it is like third party stuff that, you know, even the stuff that they talked about third party, like you could still see some of that maybe being in like Jeff Keighley's thing, because there wasn't a whole lot of first party stuff that they announced. I mean, they did have some things, but it wasn't like first party heavy, I guess.
Yeah, maybe they want to reveal some of those Street Fighter 6 characters at Summer Game Fest. Oh, wait. Well, we'll get to that. But
officially reveal.
Officially. Yeah. All right. Well, tell us a little bit. Why don't you run down some of the headlines? We'll talk a little bit about it. I couldn't watch it live as work has just been very, very busy for me. So like if a press conference or whatever it is, a State of Play is happening during working hours on the West Coast, I can't, and that sucks. I'm not going to be able to watch or live stream Summer Game Fest this year, which I was really looking forward to doing. But it's like 11 a.m. on a day I'm literally in class all day. Crown. But anyway, so I did watch after the fact so I could fast forward through the trailers I didn't care about, which was great. But there actually was very little I fast forwarded through. So it was very interesting. But anyway.
Yeah. So they led off with Resident Evil 4, the remake for that. And that looks pretty nice. It's supposed to be coming out March 24th of next year. And along with that, of course, and this led into a lot of the PlayStation VR 2 stuff that they're showing off. So there is going to be some sort of content for Resident Evil 4 Remake that is PlayStation VR 2 stuff. Along with that, they showed that they're going to be bringing Resident Evil 7, or was it 8? 8, the Village, whatever that one was. That was 8. And they're going to be bringing that to VR as well. And they let off with the most appropriate footage I could think that they would have for, you know, a VR presentation. They know their target audience, that's for sure. So that is coming at some point. Not sure when on that.
And don't forget, 7 was the one they called Biohazard. And then it was flipped in Japan, where 7 was Resident Evil, or Biohazard 7 Resident Evil. So 7 was that one. But 8 is a Village. And Village, just the whole idea of Lady Dimitrescu in VR, which was all that. Like, it's funny because, spoiler alert, but not really spoiler alert, like, she's only in the first part of the game. Like, she's only, like, that's divided up into different segments. She's only really in the first segment. I'll let you guess why. It's one of those things where it's like they really build the marketing around her because she's such a strong character. If they do a Resident Evil 9, like, she has to be back somehow. Like, she's like Wesker nemesis level, like, antagonist now. Like, they have to. I wouldn't be surprised if they fucking build Resident Evil 9 around her. We'll see.
It looked all right. So other PlayStation VR 2 stuff, they showed off the new, I guess it's its own unique game. I'm not really sure if it's like a side story character that's in the regular game or not. But they have a new Horizon VR game, which looks amazing. So that's really something that's going to be showing off.
That was a very meaty announcement for the PSVR 2. I mean, well, they'd announced it before, but, you know, like, now that we really get to see it, like, it looked like, I was like, okay, damn, this could be like a system selling sort of, you know,
yeah, I think
like
that's
a Half-Life
be the
Alex
one...
for the PlayStation type of game.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, it looked very, very polished and it looks just like this is going to be the one that shows off, you know, the features of PlayStation VR 2.
I do want to take a minute. Sorry, I don't mean to bounce back too much, but because we do tape live, we get chat comments. So I want to read over here from chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Tiger Claw says, so we're getting a remake of Resident Evil 4. A couple of years from now, we'll get more remakes of the newer games. Well, keep in mind, it may only feel like a couple of years. Resident Evil 4 was originally out like around the time this show started. That was we're 20 years this month, buddy. So even though it feels like Resident Evil 4 was just a few years ago, that was 20 years ago, my friend.
Well, also some of that may feel more recent because they did port that stuff over.
They have ported it again and again. That's very true. It's like a lot of the Final Fantasy games,
so,
right?
So, yeah.
So, I mean, when we talk about what could technology look like for a Resident Evil 7 or 8 remake 20 years from now, you know, it's going to probably be very heavy AR, VR, like it's going to be like, it's just not, I don't think we can even envision in our minds what it will look like, because when we were all playing Super Nintendo, I don't think we could, which granted is more like 30 years back, but I don't think we could visualize at that time what gaming would look like now. Just that it was more real. But what does that mean? Right. So it's anyway, sorry.
Of course, No Man's Sky had a trailer because they're bringing it to PlayStation VR 2 as well, since it, you know, it's been on PlayStation VR, so why not?
I love No Man's Sky. You know, I give that game a lot of support, even when it probably doesn't deserve it. No, but I do. I love that game, and it's a great comeback story in gaming. That was like the biggest, like, of course, like, and like, it's not like, was it ever a question that No Man's Sky would be playable? Like, was anybody out there thinking it wouldn't be playable? Like, any, does anyone want to fess up that they thought it wouldn't be playable on PlayStation VR 2? Really?
No.
Really?
So at the very least, I thought like the PlayStation 4 version would be on PlayStation VR 2. So,
as much as I love that game, that was very much the refrigerator break, because you, no shit, that game's coming out for PlayStation VR 2. No shit.
Spider-Man Remastered is coming out on PC, so that's coming out August 12th, which is kind of surprising.
A little less,
we are getting a lot more of that stuff.
Yeah, but we know Sony's been trying to strengthen their PC. I think it's surprising that, license Marvel Spider-Man is the game so it's interesting to see that confirmed, and I think just kind of adds to all the pieces last week on, you know, Sony strengthening their PC base.
Yeah. We got another trailer for Stray, which looks awesome. That's the
so
cyberpunk
cute.
Cat game. It looks really cool.
It looks so cute. If you're a cat person, that game is so on your radar. And we know it's coming out, what, July 19th now?
Yes.
Might have fudged
July
19th. What I thought was interesting about that is that it's a PlayStation Plus, but I think they said only the higher tiers, right? Not the base tier.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Yeah, E3 VL points that out too. Eh. Sucks not free on PlayStation Plus Essentials. They have to sweeten the pot on those upper tiers. So I actually think that's a good move on their part. And I don't think this will be the last one. Sure.
Is that a first party game at all? I don't think it is.
I think it's like a second party studio, but I'm not 100% confident.
Oh, because if it was like a third party indie studio or something like that, it'd be funny if that was, you know, PC Game Pass or something like that, you know, included. But
I doubt it.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? So we had Roller Drone, which is pretty cool. This is a new game from the developers of Ollie Ollie World. It's kind of like this roller skating shooter type game done in like a really retro.
If you like roller skates and you like guns, boy, do I have the game for you.
I do.
It's very bad. But the art style was very nice.
It does look cool. Yeah. Like, yeah. So that's coming out August 16th. Oh. They had a new trailer for Tunic, which is...
speaking of Game Pass games, but now going the other way around, right? So this is Microsoft's... going on. Thank you. Bobby Blackwolf confirms Stray is an Annapurna game. So, and it is releasing on Steam the same day. So Annapurna also brought us, they're a good, indie game publisher. Like I want to say, oh my God, what was that music game that I was obsessed with because the music was so good and it sounded like a Church's album. That was an Annapurna game. And then I like,
oh, I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of the name.
Yeah. And then some of the
other Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Thank you. Sayonara Wild Hearts. Yes. That was Annapurna game. That, I believe they did Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. I might be wrong. No, because that was Chinese Room, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So but Annapurna publishes a lot of those indie games. That 120 minutes, I think, was them. So there was that. Although, if we're talking about Stray, wouldn't that be an Annapurna game?
It would be, very appropriately. We have a new trailer of the Callisto Protocol, and that's done by the creators of Dead Space, and it looks very much Dead Space. So. That's very scary. You're not gonna play that. We got a couple.
Yeah,
other...
that was my. Looks very scary. Not gonna play it. Yeah, very, very on brand with my assessment too.
We got another trailer for Season: A Letter to the Future.
That game looked really interesting. Yeah, I didn't know until Kotaku and some of the other media stuff. I didn't realize that was like the indie studio that had some issues behind the scenes development stuff. So
yeah,
the game looks very interesting though, and I hope some of those other issues are resolved, as in that boss is no longer around, but I haven't read up on that.
They have there was a trailer for Aeterne Knights, which is like a looks like a JRPG action game with a dating game built in as well. So neat.
That's an interesting crossover. But the trailer was interesting enough where I'm like, tell me more. I'd like to see what the actual gameplay kind of looks like. But interesting, yeah.
Yeah. What else? We also had a new trailer for Final Fantasy 16, which is supposed to be coming out sometime in the summer of next year.
Yeah.
I still don't... It's very confusing to me what the game is going to be. It's like summons.
Okay, so I can maybe give a little insight to this from Final Fantasy 14 and just say that, like, not that the two games are necessarily related, but just I will spoil a relatively minor plot point in the Heavensward expansion, which is now, if you haven't played Heavensward yet, you're three expansions behind. So I kind of think that's on you. So there is a point in Heavensward where Shiva, who is embodied in basically a human character, but she can kind of summon Shiva out of her essence on demand. I'm really simplifying some of the story elements here. Takes on a primal or a summon that's summoned by a monster clan called Ravana. And these two summons fight each other. So Shiva and Ravana actually get into a fight. And Ravana was a Final Fantasy 14 original summon, but he's just like, otherwise he's just like, you know, all the other summons. They get into a fight, and you actually see like Shiva try to diamond dust Ravana and all this stuff. And Ravana's like, dude, because Ravana's like the four or six armed bug. You've probably seen some screenshots, and he has the Russian throat singing background music, which we'll get into the music in a minute. But the fight is so good, like the way it plays out in the game. And I was like, dang, like seeing summons fight each other is actually really awesome. And I remember saying at that point, I wish this was something the series kind of did more of. And that's why now when I look at 16, I'm like, holy shit, somebody heard that. Like, they really are. Like, it seems like they're making a game where, like, now in the Final Fantasy, there's, like, the summons are kind of, or it seems like the summons are more, like, representative of these, like, warring factions and so forth. But, like, in 14, they are, like, people seem to embody them. So this is, it's very interesting to me. So I'm down with it. The only thing where I'm a little bit like, oh, that's a disappointment, is that it looks like they got rid of parties, at least in the footage we saw, that it's like, you're essentially playing alone. Now, 14, I mean, yes, there are multiplayer dungeons and multiplayer events, but for the most part, you play a lot of that solo, and I don't think the game hurts because of that. I do know party members come in as NPCs, and I'm hoping there's at least that in this game, but it's a little, it just seems like a core Final Fantasy mechanic that's like missing. But you know
what
else?
They did co-op.
That'd be awesome. So I feel like there's still a lot we need to learn there. At the end of the day, even though my brain is like, okay, I don't know how I feel about this game not having parties, and that it seems to be action-y again, and we're never going to go back to a turn-based battle system, there's a part of me that's like, Rob, have faith. this is the team that saved the entire fucking franchise. So I'm gonna keep an open mind to all of this, because you know what? Yoshi P saved Final Fantasy, period. So, and a lot of these people that he's bringing on are a lot of the teams behind these more recent Final Fantasies that, you know, have been pretty awesome. So I'm going to give it a shot. And I think most importantly, as far as who's involved in making the game, Soken, who does the music for 14, is going to do the music for 16. That was pretty obvious the minute that trailer had the opera song with the names of the
that's cool.
A very Soken thing to do. So it's really, but then they confirmed it on like the website later. And I like, again, I can't, I know a lot of you dodge 14 because it's an MMO with a monthly fee. I understand that. You owe it to yourself to still listen to the soundtrack. It is so fucking good that Soken proves he's like the only person capable of replacing Nobuo Uematsu. Not that Uematsu can ever be replaced, but we all know he's kind of retiring.
He is a worthy successor.
He's sunsetting. Yes, Soken is absolutely a worthy successor to the Final Fantasy franchise. I'm so fucking excited to hear 16 soundtrack. Like, I'm more excited for the soundtrack than I am the game, if I can be perfectly honest. So, not to set the bar too high, but I can't help it. Can't help it.
I'd still play it, or at least buy it, because I can't say I will play it for long, because like I did 15. Mm-hmm. I need to go back to 15.
Dark Tetsuya says, could they put him on Dragon Quest? I'd be okay with that. God, yes, I would be too. However, the man is only capable of so much. There are some other great composers. Like, 11 had a pair of really good composers that worked with Nobuo Uematsu. So there's other composers within Square that could take on Dragon Quest. And yes, Dragon Quest badly needs a new composer. But outside of the iconic theme, the soundtrack was like by far the weakest point of 11, and it's time to move on. Hopefully the success of Final Fantasy and so kind of push Square in that direction. We'll see. And keep in mind, Yoshi P came to light and got prevalent because of Dragon Quest X. A lot of people don't realize that. He didn't produce that game, but he was like the quest and scenario designer for that game. And that's kind of how he started ascending up through Square Enix. So if you didn't already know, Yoshi P came from Dragon Quest X, basically. Anyway, what are your thoughts on Final Fantasy 16, Loki?
I mean, it looks all right. I just don't understand what's going on. But that was kind of like 15
as
well. You know... No, no, we
I mean,
didn't.
Honestly,
we don't. I don't think there's ever,
look
like,
back
maybe
at,
seven. Seven, I understood what was kind of going on. That
okay,
was a little
seven.
Easier to follow.
Seven. So that was 1997.
I think seven, 10 was still kind of okay, easy to follow,
true,
I think.
Yeah, 10, I think you kind of knew what to expect, yeah.
But 11, I never knew what was going on.
12,
11.
No way.
12,
13,
I never...
absolutely not.
13, no.
Absolutely
I got
not.
Confused with the falsy and the... I don't even know what
the,
all
the C and the falsy and
the C
and
falsy.
Cocoon.
Like, I don't know what any of this is. Too much lore. Now, yeah, so I think after about 10, like, have been unable to follow the storyline of that stuff. But I mean, they're pretty good games. Just 15, though, like
15.
Maybe I'm old school in the way of thinking. I don't like the non turn based stuff. Now 7 remake.
Remake's great.
That's pretty cool. Like, I could maybe deal with something like that, but this doesn't look like that.
I don't hate 15, but I think there were some bad decisions due to 15's way too long development that made it less than what it could have been. And I think it's most apparent when you get Shiva. I'm just going to speak a little, like, if you haven't played that game yet and you're sensitive about spoilers, like, I really feel like you probably should have played it by now. And this is relatively minor. But you get Shiva as a summon. Just she approaches you and the train breaks down. And the train breaks down in front of ice caverns. And it's painfully obvious. There was supposed to be a whole sequence there that the train breaks down. You got to go in the ice caverns. get it, you know, while it get fixed, you encounter Shiva and figure out, I won't tell you who Shiva really is because you see who Shiva is earlier in the story, but there's a whole, there, it's very painfully obvious there is a whole sequence there gone that I don't even know if they ever got put it in with DLC or whatever. And then the whole world of ruin at the end, like that could have been a upside down Castlevania moment for Final Fantasy. Truly, that could have been an upside down. Like, do y'all remember when Castlevania Symphony of the Night first came out and you first realized that there was an upside down castle? Like, if you beat the game the right way, and like, it's just like, oh my God, my fucking mind just exploded because there's a whole nother half of this game to go, basically. Final Fantasy 15 could have had that and was set up for that. And maybe they finally saw it in the DLC. I don't know, because I didn't pay attention that long. And it's very disappointing that it wasn't realized in what they released. But again, it's because they really only had 2 years to actually develop the game. Yes, it was in development for 10 years. They hit the reset button like with 2 years to go, maybe three. Anyway, sorry, Loki. I have a lot of tangents tonight.
It's okay.
I have to make up for Jamie not being here.
And then, of course, probably the last major thing that they announced as well is Street Fighter VI. They showed off a new trailer with that. So it was less of a teaser trailer, more of like an actual showing gameplay and stuff. And so a lot of interesting things that we saw from that. One, they're going to have a single-player open world type of gameplay that's in there, which is interesting. They also showed off some new characters as well. So we got to see, of course, you know, some of the staples like Ryu and Chun-Li were in there. And then I can't remember the two other new ones. Was it Jamie and Kimberly, maybe? I don't remember who the other ones are. But so they showed those off. And then, of course, it all leaked. All of the roster leaked. So there was a screenshot or image, I guess,
chat wants to let you know Jamie and Luke were in the trailer.
Jamie and Luke.
Kimberly is from this other piece you're talking about.
Got it. I couldn't remember what the names were of the different characters, but so we got the basically looks like the full roster from the game. So a lot of the previous characters coming back with like definitely like some updated looks and stuff. So, you know, we got like Chun-Li, looks like Guile, Blanca, E-Honda, Dalzim, Zangief, Ken.
But all Ryu you need to know is Ryu is daddy now. That's all you need to know. I mean, and he's already been announced, and you already know he's daddy.
I even like the Ken redesign. I think that looks great, and like Dalsim looks great. He's like much older now.
Street Fighter is very much destined for the Star Trek legacy, where the even numbered ones are the good ones, huh? Like Street Fighter is very much headed for that legacy, isn't it?
I don't know. And then they have what looks like DJ's back, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool too. DJ's back.
And then they have some actual new characters that look pretty interesting as well. So I like to see that. I mean, I think it looks interesting.
Mike Deft in chat says, Ken looks like he bought some NFTs and he's going through some tough shit.
The one I saw was great. Ken looks like that. When you have the conversation, oh, you have children? Well, the wife took the children, or something like that. God. He has that kind of.
Bobby Blackwolf says, is Faye Long back? Trollololo. Calling back to a reference a few weeks ago. Well, you know what didn't leak is DLC, and I'm sure there will be plenty of it.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, sure. I'm well aware of that story from a few weeks ago where the composer guy maybe opened the door a little too much on his YouTube thing and maybe put his foot in his mouth a little too much. Maybe Faye Long is released out of pure spite as DLC. Spite can be extremely motivating, but I love Faye Long. I'd be all for it. Comes out of spite.
The pure spite DLC.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Questbusters summed this up, I believe, really well, saying, so one of the takes I saw about the leaks is that, yes, the leaks were bad, but the general sentiment about what has been seen has been really exciting. And I'll sign on with that is that, yeah, that fucking sucks for Capcom, because you know they were going to milk these character announcements right up until the game releases. And they were probably going to unveil someone else at Summer Game Fest this week. So, you know, they still could. You know, it's not like they can't.
They just show deeper dives.
The deeper dives, the ultimates, backstory, show them in the story mode that still has a lot of question marks, the open world stuff they're showing. I think there's still ways they can do that and make it exciting. But yeah, it's kind of like, wow, that sucks for them that it leaked out. But actually, like, I can't think of what could get people more excited about Street Fighter VI because the designs are so good. When all anyone was talking about after that first trailer was the stock logo thing, and that whole, which they changed the logo. I think the logo looks
much better.
Much better. It's great. So at least they heard wow, it's like everybody saw what happened after the first Sonic the Hedgehog movie trailer, and now they're like, maybe we should fix mistakes that the internet points out. That worked very well for Sonic.
Well, stuff that, like, yeah, that's like very obvious, but like, yeah, it's definitely.
I just like the whole Roman numeral good. 6 that rotates. Like, that was very clever. Very clever.
It is clever. Much more clever than, you know, stock photo stuff.
Great.
So, yeah, looks exciting. So yeah. We'll have to see more.
Yeah, I still want to see more of the game. I'm going to be honest. I think I downloaded Street Fighter V as like a PS Plus. I played it maybe one time and I was like, meh. But like, so I'm like way more enthused with what I'm seeing of Street Fighter VI so far. Again, these characters, again, Ryu, hot. Really, like, I'm sorry to gay it up, but wait, I'm not happy pride. Like, this, like, Ryu, hot. If you are gonna cosplay Daddy Ryu, call me. Like, this is yeah. Anyway. But all the characters look really good in those leaks, you know? So.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
For sure. Even the new characters, you know, they all looked, the ones I was looking at looked really cool. So, yeah.
And of course, it had to be pointed out by, you know, the horn dogs on the internet that Chun-Li now has butt physics as well. So, you know, keeping the realism.
All right. Cool. Cool story. But yeah, it's not just, and so the chat is saying, you know, down boy down, the thirst is strong. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the reality is, like, I'm just excited to see some of these, like character reinventions. Like, seeing DJ back, I think, is super cool. Because, like, has DJ been in Street Fighter since? I guess he must have shown up in 4 eventually, because 4 had, like, literally everybody at one point. But, like, I feel like, you know, he's been gone for a while, and... you know, just some of these other characters coming back, because just E-Honda was always my favorite in the original Street Fighter 2, because I would just do his 100 hand slap over and over, and he looks really different, and that's pretty cool. So yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Tiger Claw says, so Chun-Li now has a thick butt to go with those thighs. Sure. All right. All right. Yeah, sure. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of games that we've been playing this week as we sit on our thick butts and play some video games. Loki, how was your gaming week?
It's all Minecraft again. I mean, it's always all Minecraft.
But you had a new video, so we know it's productive.
Yes, it's always very busy, too. That, like, video took at least, like, 10 hours to edit. So there was a lot to go through, trying to whittle it down to even the 40 minutes that it is. Because they keep getting longer, but like it's pretty concise now, or at least trying to get it concise, but there's a lot to show. So yeah, that just came out. And then I did want to update, since it's over now, the bundle for Baldi.
I was gonna ask you at the top and I got distracted. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, so we raised $2,809. Not hundreds of thousands of dollars, but it's only 30 games, so it's all good. But yeah, so in a couple weeks, they'll be donated. I know that the guy, Nate Peters, who's in charge of everything, he's, I guess there's, you know, much like Steam and everything, you have to wait for like 7 days for refunds not to be issued, and then 7 more days for like payments to be issued and stuff. So he's taking care of all of the depositing for that stuff. But yeah, lots of bundles being sold and notifications going off like crazy on, on itch.io. So I think we sold probably like at least 150 of those bundles.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, all right. Yeah,
that's it.
Great. Let's see. So for my gaming week, so I played more Final Fantasy 14, because of course I did. I always play that game. I also did, you know, my AR games. I was doing an event in Ingress, and I actually went all the way to the gold level. So it took a little bit of walking and doing all that stuff, but I had fun with that. Been walking my Pikmin. I'm almost to level 59 in Pikmin Bloom. And I played Pokemon Go because this weekend was the big Pokemon Go Fest, right? The annual festival, which went global in the year 2020 for obvious reasons, but they had, you know, pretty good success with the global event in 2020. Last year was a $5 event that was pretty well received for the price. This year, the price went back up to $15. You know, I was looking at like what all they were doing and I was like, well, I feel like I have a lot of these Pokemon. There's maybe only like one truly new one in this event for me. And I don't know, whatever, I'll do it. And so I bought a ticket for the event and I regret it. This event was trash. This event was trash. I should say this event was not worth what Niantic charged for it, especially coming off of the $5 price tag last year, which I understand was a tie-in to the fifth anniversary, but that's, you know what? This event was worth maybe $5. I can't fucking believe that I walked 9 miles yesterday and got 6 shinies from that. Whereas last year, when I went to San Francisco, I maybe walked 6 or 7 miles, and I think I ended the day with like 23 shinies. Now, it doesn't have to be all about shinies, but they are desirable. Well, unless you're Shane, but if they are desirable, they are nice. They are fun to collect. They are a more advanced part of the game to collect. They're a rarer thing. And I just, what pisses me off is that Niantic was really dangling the carrot of, well, Axew's going shiny and there's unknowns that are going to be shiny and there's all these things that are going to be shiny for the event. You know what? I think Niantic broke loot box laws, quite frankly, with that, because they need to disclose because they were selling that, they need to disclose what was really the percentage there of shinies. And, you know, maybe it's confirmation bias because I didn't get as many shinies, but looking around on social media and stuff, I don't think a lot of people did walk out of that event with a lot of shinies. Thank you. Def says 6 yesterday, 3 today on the shinies. Oh, I got 1 today on a 3-mile walk. And they're shitty shinies too. I'm sorry, but they are. Because they, like, at least 3 of them that I got were previous Community Day shinies. Like, I got C-Dot. Woohoo. I got Schviel, which was also a previous Community Day. So it was like, it was just very frustrating. At least I finally got a Wingull. I do like shiny Wingull, but it's not exactly an A-tier shiny either. Okay, so it doesn't have to just be about shinies. Fine. They put Axew in 1-star raids, which was cool. It was nice to see that. I wish maybe they'd put some of the other, like that Jangmo-O, whatever that name, should have probably been in 1-stars as well. And maybe a couple of the other really hard to get, like 1-stars that needed not a lot of candy. Maybe Noibat would have been great to see in raids. I just think the raids were super underwhelming. And what the fuck were the Alolan Pokemon doing in the rotation from hour to hour when we just had an event focused on them? Like, SG100 Matt says, I don't want to sound like I should expect anything, but considering we spent $15, they could have had better rates than this. I think when you spend $15, you can't expect to get $15 worth. And this event was not worth $15. Now, I guess they put another new Pokemon in raids today. You didn't need a raid ticket to get it. In fact, you didn't need a raid ticket for the Axews either. What did the raid ticket holders really get out of this? Maybe more unknowns, Torkoal and Tropius, a couple of regionals that I bet most people that didn't do the event will just trade for anyway. I mean, what did the $15 really get us? Not much. Oh yeah, the incense rules. They did change. So chat's reminded, the incense rules changed over the weekend back to what they were before, basically. And yeah, things would constantly despawn. Oh, that was so annoying. Like, I would be like, ooh, because I really, really wanted more shiny unknowns. That's the one thing I really wanted, was more shiny unknowns. I would see an unknown spawn. I'd tap it, poof, it would disappear. Thanks to some stupid bug that was going on in the game. So just, it was a shitty event, and Niantic should feel bad for charging $15 for that. Now, I guess there is something about, there's a second half of the event coming in August. So there's supposed to be like an encore event in August. August better fucking blow me away after this weekend. So I don't know what they're saving up for, but it better knock my fucking socks off after this release. Because yeah, it's really making me reconsider buying into the hype in the future. And I feel really stupid for having done it this time, to be quite honest. Speaking of things I feel stupid for, I wasn't sure if I was going to mention this on the show or not, but I'm going to say I did a thing that I said before I didn't think I was going to do. I played Diablo Immortal. I know. Why did I do it? I've always loved Diablo. B, the other situation with what's going on at Blizzard and everything is really complicated. We all know very much how I feel about Bobby Kotick and how I feel about a lot of the management over at Activision Blizzard. That hasn't changed. I know people as in more than one, that had involvement with this game. And where do you kind of draw the line between, I want to support you even though I fucking can't stand your boss? It's like, where do you draw the line? So at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? And actually, I will say this, I'm going to say this to Diablo Immortal's credit, huge credit, is after that whole debacle at BlizzCon in 2017 or whenever it was that they announced, was 18, I don't even remember anymore, whenever they announced that game with the whole, don't you all have phones? They did backtrack at the end of the day, and they put the game out on PC as well, stating, if we don't do this, people are just going to use Android emulators to play the game. So we might as well just put out an official version of this on PC. I think that was a very accurate and very perceptive and very welcomed change in thinking. And I want to support a change in thinking. So I did not download the phone version. I downloaded the PC version and I played that. I didn't spend any money on it. I'm not necessarily wearing that as a badge of honor. It's just, I am, folks, well aware of that copy-pasted headline about you can spend $110,000 in Diablo Immortal to max out your character. And I think we have a story up coming up on it later, so I'm not going to get too far into that. For me, so far, in my experience, it has been very easy to just not buy anything at all and focus on the main scenario. Am I going to have the strongest character and the strongest weapons? No. Is that going to bother me? No. And I just have to make sure it doesn't bother me and that I'm okay with not being the very best that no one ever was. That's Pokemon. And that's where I do get suckered into spending money where maybe I shouldn't have. But Diablo Immortal, it's fine enough. I've played up to level like 25 and it actually has kind of like a fully fleshed out main scenario quest that has like voice acting. It's like not just about like the grind of rifts and so forth. So I was just, maybe they'll do this later. I don't know. I think if they had just put this out as a $40 PC game without the microtransaction stuff, I almost wonder how much better this would have been received if they just put it out as a $40 PC game where, hey, when you buy it, you get a code to put it on your phone as well. So it can be both phone and all that stuff. I wonder how much better received this whole thing would have been if that was the route they went. But I know that's not business, Rob. That's not how EA makes their money. That's not loot boxes are where. Yeah. I get it. I'm just saying maybe this whole thing would have got a lot less shit. And maybe as a result, make more money in the long run if that was the route they went. And who's to say they won't still end up going that route? Especially with Microsoft now in the picture. I wonder what Game Pass perks I'm going to get for Diablo Immortal eventually, maybe a year from now. We'll see. Questbuster in chat says, Diablo Immortal's PC client is still a bit jank, but it works well enough, at least in my case. Yeah, I agree. Some of the loading times are pretty shit. Maybe that's because I'm not running it off a solid state drive. I don't know. Or maybe it is literally an Android emulator. I don't know. But it's not terrible. And you can use a gamepad. I use keyboard and mouse because like Diablo, I just feel like that's the way to play it. Questbuster also says, I played through the entire campaign and unlocked Paragon. The monetization doesn't really feel as if it hurts until I got to that point. SG100 Matt says, considering this closed out of BlizzCon 1 year and was billed as a big deal, now it's a loot box nonsense thing that's kind of hurt the franchise to some degree. Here's the weird thing about that. Again, I want to say, I've been playing this game for a few hours and have easily been able to ignore all these loot box mechanics. And Questbuster just told you, I went through the entire campaign and unlocked Paragon, and that's when I started feeling the loot box stuff.
Yeah, because you unlocked the loot box stuff. Like they don't start offering it to you until you get further in the game.
Not all of it. Like those legendary crests, I have access to them now. And the game tried to push a 99-cent first timer bundle on me and other stuff, but it's very easy to say no. So I don't know. So yeah, I my feelings on Diablo Immortal are a bit complicated, but I do feel the $110,000 headline is a little, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think that headline's a little unfair. But I do think, and the reason why I say that is that you don't have to upgrade every a legendary gem because they don't all make sense for all the classes. But I understand the desire to drag Activision Blizzard for a lot of this loot box nonsense when it could have just been a $40 game. And I think we would all be speaking very differently of this game if it was just a $40 game on PC that happened to be on mobile phones as well. So that part I'm absolutely going to agree with. But I do think that $110,000 figure that's being copy-pasted is a little bit like... I think you're kind of... You're kind of stating a scenario that's not really going to happen to anyone. But I don't know. Then again, I'm not a high streamer or high rank streamer who's maybe high as well. I don't know. I'm not a high rank streamer who's willing to drop $500 on a stream because that's how much money they're making in bits and subs during a stream anyway. So I don't know. Anyway. Questbuster says it's so easy to ignore the monetization, but when you want to perfect your gear post campaign, it feels like they've heavily targeted that. So you have to be able to say, I don't need to be perfect, and I'm just going to play this for fun, is the impression I get. Anyway, so that's my thoughts on that. Let's move on. Let's talk about what else is going on in the gaming world this week with some headlines. And Sony not the only one to put out a little video this week, right, Logie?
That's correct, yeah. So there's a cool announcement with the Mega Drive Mini 2. It's interesting. They have quite a few games in there. I like how that they have all these mini systems that can you can actually stack them together. So they had previously like a mini 32X and was it the mini? I'm not sure what they had like a other separate. I know you can get a Sega CD attachment to it as well. But yeah, this new Mega Drive 2 Mini has going to only be available in Japan right now. It's going to run you 4,500 yen. And they've got some of the game. I think some of the games have been announced for this so far. So we've got, looks like, was it Silphied, Sonic CD, Shining Force CD. Looks like we've got Virtua Racing, Bonanza Brothers, Thunder Force 4. Looks like Fantasy Zone. Jamie would be very excited about that.
Which is interesting because that wasn't even on the Genesis. That was a Master System game,
right? These are so this is a Mega Drive cartridge, and so there's Mega Drive cartridge and Mega CD games kind of mixed together.
Yeah, but it wasn't even on Genesis. Like it was so I think this must be a prototype that they had at one point that they fully realized. I don't know, but it's just interesting. It's an interesting addition.
Yeah, I think it's like their redesign console. Like you know how like the Genesis eventually kind of, you know, they changed the design of it a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's like this. And then, of course, this has the 6-button controller that they got on that
nice
system much later as well. So pretty cool.
Yeah, I really wish Jamie was here tonight because a lot of these are games. She's probably featured half these games as classic games of the week. And, you know, she is very passionate about the old Sega stuff. So I'll have to ask her thoughts on that next week. But even I, who is always more a Nintendo household and kind of missed the Sega CD and all that stuff. Like there's a lot of stuff in here where even I'm like, damn, I kind of want to get this. This sounds like a great lineup.
Yeah. So it's supposed to come with 50 games. So obviously they haven't announced all of the games that are going to be in it. And then along with that though, they added, they're just talking about basically the Sega CD, how there's enhanced graphics and stuff. Still going to be, you know, USB powered, HDMI, that type of stuff. So pretty cool looking, though.
Yeah. I want one. Hopefully I can get one. Hopefully they're not too hard to get. A lot of people were curious why they weren't doing a Dreamcast Mini or a Saturn Mini, but I guess they came out and said it would have been too expensive in light of, you know, the chip shortage going on in the world or whatever. I'm a little surprised at that. Yeah. I'm hoping maybe they're just saving that for maybe in another year or two or whatever. And we'll see that eventually. I think that would be great. But this is still a pretty decent lineup, you know, for stretching out the Genesis another year, right?
And like I said, so the cost actually is 99.80 yen, or about $75. The 4,500 yen was actually for a non-functional matching Sega CD add-on. It's just cosmetic. Mm-hmm. But if you want to make your Mega Drive 2 look like it's docked to a Sega CD, you can, and that even comes with like a tiny virtual racing cartridge and a Sonic the Hedgehog CD disc that goes into the CD drive, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. I think this thing will be cute. I hope they bring it over here. I know it's Japan only right now, but maybe we'll hear in the next month that it's gonna, I mean, maybe this is what Sega wants to talk about at Summer Game Fest. I don't know. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, back to Diablo Immortal talk for a minute, because Diablo Immortal has been in the headlines in a lot of places, not just that headline I was talking about with how much it costs to max up a character, but about where Diablo Immortal is not releasing, and that is Belgium or the Netherlands. These countries are not getting Diablo Immortal, and it's probably because of local laws pertaining to loot boxes, and Blizzard not really looking to change that. So on the Diablo Immortal subreddit, a Blizzard game master kind of said, and they obviously they're not naming names for reasons, kind of said like what's going on with this, saying, quote, the loot boxes in the game are against the law in your country. So unless the gambling restrictions change, the game will not be released in the Netherlands and Belgium. And this is probably because, you know, again, you can buy a greater rift key or whatever the hell they call it, legendary rift modifier key, whatever it's called in that game. You can buy that, but it doesn't really guarantee that you're going to get anything. It just ups the odds on a lot of stuff, which I kind of think is a bullshit thing to begin with. But
yeah,
is it any different than Pokemon Go? Clearly not. So this is where we're at. Yeah, it's not going to be released in those countries for those reasons. I think there probably should be more transparency in all countries on Blizzard's part with this, to be quite honest, and with all gaming companies. I think odds and that sort of thing should be a default thing. Like, why the odds should be very clear from in everything. But yeah. So the game's not going to be on those countries. They're of the mindset of
don't tell me the odds, so, you know.
That's true. Yeah, if you know the – but the other thing that Diablo does – like, there are just so many items that do different things, and it's like you have your pay-to-win currency that can buy so many items. And, you know, I've heard this called the hot dogs in the bun thing before, and it's very true. But, it goes beyond the fact that, like – you know, $6 or $5 will get you 600 of this, but which really translates to 4 of these. You know, it's just like the math really gets convoluted in that game. And that's why I've just said, you know what? I'm just never going to give this game my credit card info. And the nice thing about it being on a PC standalone client, they don't have it. So I can't spend money. They have my old, guess what? The credit card Blizzard has on file from when I did pay for WoW many years ago, that card expired. So they don't have any credit card for me right now. So there you go. All right. What else do we have, Loki?
All right. And so we talked about this last week about how Microsoft said that they would acknowledge the Raven Software Union that they had there for the QA department. But now they wanted to go a little bit further with that. This is a comment now from Brad Smith with Microsoft saying that not only are they going to acknowledge the current union, but any unions going forward, they're going to acknowledge those as well, or recognize those, I should say, not necessarily acknowledge. Brad Smith said, you know, our employees do not need to organize to have a dialogue with Microsoft's leaders, but we also recognize the workplace is changing. That's why we are sharing principles to guide our approach with labor organizations. And then they link to all that.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that's better than, you know, Activision Blizzard trying to stamp out unions.
Well, and I think Microsoft also sees that this is something they can get ahead of and just accept as where the industry kind of read the tea leaves and see that this is where the industry is going to be going. And either they can, you know, get on board and try to get ahead of it and try to figure out what it means for them and how can they can best work with that. Or they can kick and scream and just look dumb, you know, like a lot of other companies are at this point. So, you know, kudos to Microsoft for continuing to get it. And Phil Spencer specifically, to be honest. So, boy, it's going to be interesting if he ever leaves. Not that I wish that, but, you know, it's just going to be, it's going to be very interesting. You know, heaven forbid Microsoft get another Don Matrick in there. It's just, it's so interesting how who's at the top can really trickle down into the rest of the culture, huh?
So. Yeah.
SG100 Matt agreeing with me in chat, saying times are changing. The industry is going. It's either they get in front of it and support it as best as possible or be the jerk and try to suppress it. DG Rama S says, granted, the MS retail stores could be unionized, but on the corporate side, not really. No. So, well, you know, like you got a lot of retail efforts to unionize as well. You know, look at what's going on with Starbucks and all that. So we'll see. Anyway. Let's move on to another big gaming headline from this week and another video announcement, and that has to do with Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. That's right. We got a new trailer for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet this week, and it was just a few minutes, but boy, do they cram a lot into those few minutes. For example, we got to see that there are not one but two new professors because it depends on which version of the game you pick up. So you have Professor Sada and you have Professor Turo. And again, it depends which version of the game you pick up, which one you're going to get. Professor Sada is kind of like a prehistorically dressed female professor, kind of like Laura Dern in Jurassic Park. Why don't we just say she's Laura Dern in Jurassic Park, basically. And then Professor Turo is a male character that looks like Tron a little bit. So like we'll say, you know, Garrett, what's his name in Tron? So there's it's interesting that you have prehistoric and you have Tron. It kind of makes it look like there's a past and a future sort of storyline that's going on here. I should also point out that the internet has decided both of these professors are hot. And if you're bisexual, you're having a really good week because both of these professors are quite bangable according to the world of fan art. I'm just going to say, I've seen some art about Professor Turo already. It's amazing what the internet can do in 6 hours. But at the same time, not surprising whatsoever. But I'm just going to say.
Not so much Pokemon anymore. It's just Thirstamon. So.
Definitely people want to be poked. That's what I'm going to say. Because people have their fan images already. And, you know, if you thought Ryu was a daddy, boy. It's almost like I saw the best. The best picture I saw was a clip. It said it had Professor Turo, but the chat box, the text was taken out to instead put in, "Hi, gay." I don't know if you've ever seen that Twitter thing. "Hi, gay. No. Come on down to the butter shop." And it's so fucking funny, Loki. I'm telling you, it's really funny. All right.
All right.
Let's see. DJ Rama S says, future Professor Turo cosplay. I'm flattered that you think I could even pull it off. I'm truly flattered. Maybe. Who knows? Dragon Con. I bet there will be lots of that cosplay at Dragon Con, and I'm A-okay for that. So, anyway. Oh, yes. What else was in the trailer besides thirsty professors? We got to see just a little bit of your rival in that game. We saw that there is a interesting connect with your friends, and you can go out on adventures together up to four people at a time. So it actually has like multiplayer gameplay in there for like trading and battling, but also exploring with other players, which is interesting. So it's almost like they, ironically, coming off of talking about Diablo, it almost sounds like they kind of have that spin on it, which I think will be very interesting to see, quite frankly. So I'm excited to see that. And then there are some old Pokemon that have been confirmed. So Gengar, Talonflame, Chudl, Venonat, Cryogonal, Larvitar, Bagon, Pikachu, Toxapex, Colossal. So we don't know if the Scarlet Violet decks will have everything because we know how the internet got really upset when Pokemon Sword and Shield didn't have everything, so we don't know if we're going to see that this time. But we did get to see some other new Pokemon, including, yes, a cute little pig Pokemon named LeChonk. Now, while most of us are taking that to mean, haha, Chonk, LeChonk, haha, many people are also pointed out that, like Mike Deft in our chat says, also, LeChonk's name comes from LeChon, I don't know if I'm saying that right, which is literally pig in Spanish. So, yes, there are probably some very tongue-in-cheek sort of things there in the... Like, I heard Professor Turo could have come from Futuro as well, which is like a way of saying future. There's also a new Pokemon, Pawmi, which is like a little electric dog or something. It looked really cute. And I'm sorry, I loved Smoliv, which, yes, was a little olive that was small. It's adorable. Smoliv. S-M-O-L-I-V, small live. Anyway, yeah, so I think it looked super cute. I'm really excited to get my hands on this game. So, and I'm not even Shane or generally one that like gets super excitable about Pokemon, but I enjoyed my time with Sword and Shield, and I'm excited for this one as well. So ZenMonkey11 says, this game sounds like there isn't going to be much to do offline, which sucks. I don't think the multiplayer was required by any means. And if you think about it, there was in Sword and Shield, you had those raids, which was up to four people, right? But if you didn't have online people, you would get really terrible NPCs that never did the right move. So if you want to put up with that, you sure can. Yeah, so single player, I think, will be fine. You'll still have a story to get through, start to finish. It's just multiplayer is just another way you could do it. And maybe will be a way to get better things. Now, I'm curious how it's going to work. Will Scarlet and Violet be playable together multiplayer? And how does that work if you're getting different Pokemon? So I'm curious how that all plays out. Like, can I play Scarlet and Mike Deft play Violet? Then we can play together. Even though, like, every gay I know wants to get Pokemon Violet now for obvious reasons, I feel like I want to get Scarlet just so I have people to trade with. Plus, I like Sada. I think she's a neat design. So I don't have to thirst after all my characters in video games. Just sometimes. All right. Moving on. S200 Matt says, Shane will play both games at once with himself online. Absolutely true. He will allow his husband to play with him, I'm pretty sure, but otherwise, yes. All right. Anyway, moving on. Loki.
So there's been some drama going on in the PC game collection scene where apparently...
Drama? On my internet?
Yes, drama. Apparently, there is a person by the name of Enrico Riccardi who had for years been counterfeiting sealed box games in the PC market and selling them. And so apparently now folks had started to pay attention to what he had sold them, and they're finding that, you know, there's discs that are blank. There's
sorry, I didn't mean to have the sound effects behind you. Sorry. I'm setting up for another segment.
There is stuff that they could tell that were printed like on a dot matrix printer or something like that. There was autographs that were forged. So it's a mess as far as what has happened here. Even a couple of the games had gone through WADA, that grading company, and they had graded them like A-OK, even though they're fake. So WADA, of course, is like, oh, hey, we'll look at those again. But apparently they're saying that since 2015, he's roughly been involved with about $107,000 worth of transactions.
I guess I did play an appropriate noise for collectors getting scammed. So there is that. So it was the game over noise in Mario. So anyway, because it's at the start of a video for an upcoming segment here. But yeah, let's see. Mike Deff says, I remember PSA grading a fake Pokemon card with a 10. So yeah, that some fakes are really convincing. So you got to be careful. This is, I don't know. Like, well, I would be very careful getting into this market right now.
Well, and considering though that like, with that, like, it's also hard to tell, like, when that stuff's sealed, like, if you're not going to open it up to see if the disc is legit or not, you're looking in the box and like, yeah, that looks, you know, correct. Right. I don't know.
No, so. For sure. I don't think I'll be buying any classics. Well, unless it's like a game I want to play for like $12 on the shelf or $15, but not hundreds of thousands of dollars anytime soon. That's for sure. Because the whole thing seems scammy. It's almost as scammy as NFTs. So, yeah. Anyway, let's go back to a time when video games weren't so scammy.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
Well, actually, Dark Sakura, you won't be telling people about it tonight. I will. And the classic game of the week that I've chosen tonight is Pitfall. Usually, I know Dark Sakura loves to pick a game that came out like right at the cutoff, which is 10 years ago. So like a game that's 10 years older or more. Pitfall, the game I've picked tonight, is 40 years old. So here's the game. Yes, this game came out in August of 1982. So this is a 40-year-old game that I've picked. And Mike Deft in chat says, or I'm sorry, also SJ and her matter, like, really? We haven't done Pitfall? I did Pitfall 2, the sequel, a long time ago, like in the 400s somewhere along there, one of the earlier classic games that I picked. But no, we have not discussed the original Pitfall, or at least it's not on the wiki, in which case it didn't happen. So yeah, this is a lot of people, of course, recognize this classic because this is a definitive 1982 classic game for sure. This is a game that was created by Activision back when it was good, or at least published Activision. The designer of this game, of course, was the famous David Crane, who was a really famous designer because of games like Pitfall back in the 80s. In this game, of course, you are controlling a character named Pitfall Harry, was the character's name, and he ended up kind of becoming a little bit of a B-tier character later on. You saw him in other things, and, you know, he was a mascot of sorts for a certain time. You go through this world with basically an upstairs and a downstairs. There's the overworld and there's the caves. And you can see both on the same screen. And there are 255 screens that you're going through. Wow, it's 2 to the power of 8? So everything is always 2 to the power of something in these old games, right? So 256 is that, you know, the magic number. These screens are connected to the left and to the right. So some people may argue it is easier to run to the left in this game. It all depends on how you want to play it. The goal of this game is to collect treasure and run an entire loop through the game. You're trying to get 32 treasures in the jungle in 20 minutes. It's harder than you think because you have to use the caves underground in order to do it, because the caves kind of move you ahead by 3 screens each time. But sometimes that can lead you into a brick wall. So there are very specific ways to kind of get through this game. The treasure bags, money, gold bars, silver bars, diamond rings, and that all changes the points to it. A perfect score in this game is 114,000 points. That means you never get hit with a little rolling log or anything like that, or fall or die or any of that stuff. So there is a specific way to run through this game very fast. You have to use the underground tunnels to do it, of course. And this game was re-released a lot. This game was ported to a lot of different places, in the 1980s because, of course, games back then were ported to a lot of things. So, of course, most people know the Atari 2600 version, but it came out on Apple II, the Atari 8-bit computers, Atari 5200, ColecoVision, the MSX, the Intellivision, and, of course, the place where I played this game mostly, which was, you guessed it, the Commodore 64. So let me switch the scene here for those watching live to the Commodore 64 version, which was a little noisier because the jumping kind of made a different noise and the footsteps all made noise. And of course, it used the SID chip there for the Vine noise to make this very impressive stereo effect. but otherwise, it pretty much was the same game that you would see on the 2600. let me turn down the volume a bit because the footsteps running by are going to be really annoying because it's constantly throughout this Commodore 64 version of the game. David Crane, who made this game, said that in 1979, he kind of made technology to display a running man. And in 1982, he wanted to use it in a game. So that's where Pitfall came from. He says, I sat down with a blank sheet of paper and drew a stick figure in the center. I said, okay, I have a little running man, and let's put him on a path. Two more lines on the paper. Where is the path? It's a jungle. Why is he running? Treasures. And Pitfall was born. This entire process took about 10 minutes. About 1,000 hours of programming later, the game was complete. And yeah, I think, you know, many people remember this game as like a really early platforming game that they played. And it sold very, very well, which was important for a few reasons, because it was not an Atari-developed game. It was developed by a third party, one that was very attractive to newer developers because and programmers because they credited people with the game. Later versions of this game actually called it David Crane's Pitfall, so it was very popular. This game sold 1 million units in 5 months. It was more popular than E.T., to put it in perspective, for 1982, which is pretty significant.
That's a very low bar to hit, but okay.
It is, but when you consider Atari spent $21 million for the E.T. license, and a third party got this one... Yeah,
not money well spent.
Exactly. And people remember this game as one of the all-time best. The Archie Awards, which I've never heard of, but sure. Oh, it's because it was Electronic Games Magazine. Okay, it was a while ago. It got Best Adventure Video Game. Game Informer said this is the 41st best game out of all time, out of the top 100. But that was in 2001. So it was a while ago. But in 2013, Entertainment Weekly said it was one of the 10 best Atari 2600 games. Okay, I guess it's probably not a huge... I mean, yeah, this is a hugely influential game. And then, of course, sequels. I've talked about Pitfall 2, The Lost Caverns before. It was a long time ago, so maybe you weren't listening to the show back when I did that. But it's worth your time to check out because that was the first Atari 2600 game with a soundtrack, actually. And it was great on Commodore 64 as well. And they remade it into a game called Super Pitfall for the Nintendo Entertainment System, which, in my opinion, was fucking garbage. It's actually one of the worst NES games I've ever seen was Super Pitfall. So how dare they call it a port of Pitfall 2, The Lost Caverns? Because it's terrible. They gave Pitfall Harry a gun. And as cool as that sounds, it did not work. No, it did not. Anyway, later on, we got Pitfall the Mayan Adventure for like Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. And they ported it to a lot of places. Pitfall 3D Beyond the Jungle, where Bruce Campbell did Pitfall Harry Jr. Did you know that? That came out on the PlayStation. Yeah. It was also out on the Game Boy Color. And then there was another sequel called Pitfall The Lost Expedition. But let's be real. It by then, the series had evolved into something different. It wasn't really the same thing that we saw here. There was a re-release for iOS and Android, but it's not this game. It's a 3D Endless Runner, and it came out in 2012 when those were really huge. I didn't know this. David Crane did a Kickstarter for a game called Jungle Venture, which was to be a spiritual successor to the original games. He was trying to raise $900,000 to create Jungle Venture. Do you know how much he raised? $31,000. So it was pretty bad. On reflection, David Crane said, you know what? People thought he was asking for too much, and everyone turned against him as soon as they saw the cost. You know, and it was a bad time. There's been too many Kickstarters of that price that have gone sour. And I think it's just, yeah. Anyway, Pitfall also showed up on the CBS Saturday Supercade with Pitfall Harry. Robert Wrigley voiced Harry. And Rhonda, the niece, was in the animated series as well. She's in the sequel. As well as Quick Claw the Lion. So they were all in that. But then it was Pitfall Harry got replaced by Kangaroo and Space Ace in later seasons. So it wasn't around very long. Also interesting, an abbreviated version of Pitfall is in the game Gary Kitchen's Game Maker, which was a Commodore 64, Apple II, and IBM PC release in 1985. That's kind of interesting. And Pitfall is, of course, referenced in the movie Ready Player One, as one of the only 2600 games that still hasn't ended. And there were clones. You know, when you have popular games, people make clones. Trapfall for the TRS-80 and Cuthbert in the Jungle for the Dragon 32. So, do you remember this game, Loki? Pitfall? Did you play this?
Yes, I played it on the Atari 2600.
It's a good game, huh?
Yes, it was one of my favorites.
Yeah. So
certainly was an E.T.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. She-Hulk in chat says Pitfall is a great game. Bit Trip Runner is a great homage game to Pitfall. You know, I never thought about that, but you're right. I mean, I don't know if you can say Pitfall invented the side scroller platformer, but it certainly showed that they could be popular. Because again, this sold a million copies. And we didn't have a game like this on the Atari 2600 yet. Some folks in chat are thinking about what might a remake, you know, what if Jungle Venture had happened? What might a remake of Pitfall look like now? Tiger Claw says, imagine next gen Pitfall. Well, a lot of them went 3D. I'm not sure it's, you know, as exciting as the original was, but it sure seems like a lot of you could go for a new game like this. So, yeah. Let's see. Bobby Blackwell says, my Pitfall experience was on Intellivision. Yeah, there was a version of this on Intellivision. I believe they released Pitfall on the Sega Master System as well. But if I remember correctly, that is a port of the arcade game, which is Pitfall 2. So it is not the original Pitfall. So, but there it is, your classic game of the week, Pitfall. Originally on the Atari 2600, but later out on a variety of different systems. So,
nice.
Hope you like that. Yeah. I wasn't sure what to pick tonight, so I had asked somebody else to do it, but our schedules couldn't line up today to do it, so I was like, all right, last minute pick, I'll do it. So, sorry, Loki, I really need to let you have a turn and pick something, but...
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll let you drive soon. What's a game you want to do? Do you know?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
All right, well, you probably shouldn't ruin it anyway. All right. That was the classic game of the week. So let's get back into some rapid fire news and talk about some other headlines happening in the gaming world this week. Loki.
Yes, the Steam Deck is getting a delay. Well, the dock is. They're not putting out the dock for your Steam Deck, so you're just gonna have to plug it into a normal USB device for now. But yes, they'll be coming later. They said they didn't specifically target a new window, but that they would be rolling out at some point. We're working on improving the situation. We'll share more when we have it. See. But things that we do have somewhat of a window for. It's going to be Super Nintendo World coming to Universal Studios Hollywood. That is going to be coming early 2023. This was revealed in a tweet that they put out. So very exciting to see that coming nearby. Because Japan's too far away from me.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's not Orlando either. Because usually all the cool theme park shit goes to Orlando first. So sorry, but it's our turn to get something before Orlando. So that
you got Harry Potter World. It's fine, you know. So you got Harry Potter World first. Now we get this first.
Yeah, so we get the Mario World. And it sounds like the ride is a little different than Japan. It's still Mario Kart, but it sounds like it's like Bowser's Castle or something instead. Like, it's different than what they have in Japan. Probably just the environment or whatever.
No, the ride's in Bowser's Castle.
Then maybe I'm mixing the Japan one up with something. Like, I think the theming is different slightly between the two. I think maybe the track or whatever is going to ultimately be different. So,
well, yeah, hopefully,
and maybe that means the Orlando one will be different as well. Who knows?
They need a roller coaster in there.
Yeah,
but
oh, all right. Chad is telling me it's the same as Japan's. I thought it was a different theming. All right, whatever.
Maybe because you were thinking because the interactive ride's called Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge.
Uh huh.
But that's what I think it's called in Japan too.
Okay. All right. But yeah, I'll let's road trip, Loki. Let's go. Let's go to the broccoli farm. And go.
Well, this isn't the broccoli farm. That's Disneyland.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, so this would be the asparagus farm. All right.
Asparagus farm. Yeah.
But that'll be fun. I definitely want to go check this out when it opens. I wonder how crowded it'll be when it first kind of opens. Probably pretty. But
crowded.
If it's early in the year, you know, it's probably best to get in there before summer. And the nice thing is, my job is super cool, and if I want to just take like a Wednesday, Thursday in the middle of the week off to go do it, I can do it. So that's probably what I'll do. I'll go on a Wednesday.
My worry is that that, like, literally you're going to go there and, like, spend an hour and you're like, okay, I've seen everything. Like, that's kind of how
probably,
I feel this is going to be.
But I like Universal's. I like the other rides at Universal Studios Hollywood. The first time we ever went on the Mummy ride, which is different than Orlando. It's not an outdoor coaster like Orlando is. The Mummy ride is an indoor black light ride, but we didn't know. So I went with Extafer, for those of you that remember Horde House and, you know, remember Extafer, who's been on this show too. I went for the first time to Universal Hollywood with Extafer, and we went on the Mummy ride, and we didn't know what it was. We had no idea. What we knew it was a black light ride, and we heard it was a thrill ride. So for those of you that have been on it, it's, have you been on this ride, Loki? The Mummy ride?
No. Okay. I haven't been there in a
long
time.
I'm going to spoil it for you, but with good reason. So when the ride starts, yeah, it's like a blacklight ride. You're going from like room to room and it zips around. And you're like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. And it kind of like moves, you know, kind of like, whoa, whoa. Like it's like the people mover, you know, on crack or whatever. It's like, whoa. And then you get to this point at the end and the big evil Pharaoh, I don't know those movies very well, comes on or whatever and says like, now I have possessed you or something and does whatever. And then you go backwards, lightning fast, through the entire thing you just went through, which I think they actually cleverly put on an actually different track to keep things moving. It's not just forward and back. I think you actually go backwards like a different way or whatever, but it feels like you're going back through the same thing. And you're going like 70 miles an hour backwards. Exfer and I had no idea that this was about to happen. The pitch at which we screamed our heads off... I'm sure that like there were little kids on the ride that are like, who are these two man screaming babies in the front of this car right now? But we didn't know that, like, we did not know that the ride went backward at like 70 miles an hour. Check out one of those like 4K walkthroughs on
YouTube.
I'll
have to look at that.
It was is wild. And then you get back, and then you're back at start, and we're just like, what the fuck just happened? What happened? Oh my God. Ah, ah. Like screaming.
That's funny.
All right. SJO on the mat says they made a mirror image of the ride to make it work. I think Defunct Land did a thing on it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're just going back in reverse, like mirror image. But it was really, really fun. And so now I love to ride that ride every time I go to Universal Hollywood because I think it's great. And as much as the writer of the series annoys me, I consider Harry Potter at this point to be a Hatsune Miku written series. So I enjoy going to the Wizarding World and drinking the butter beer. And that ride is really well done. The Hatsune Miku Presents the Wizarding World ride is great. I love that ride. So
what? Oh,
you were talking to Mrs. I said I don't like that turf who wrote the book. So as far as I'm concerned, Hatsune Miku wrote.
Hatsune Miku.
Yeah, I buy into Hatsune Miku wrote it. So that's where I am with that. Hatsune Potter, yes. And then I love that Simpsons ride is so fucking cute.
I
want to
see
too.
That. That looked awesome.
That ride is fun. That used to be the Back to the Future ride back in the day, but now it's.
I remember that.
Yeah. It's really fun. So they have some cute rides. The Transformer ride's really impressive too. Anyway, I don't mean for this whole thing to be a fucking ad for Universal Studios Hollywood, but I would say there are more things to do there than just Super Mario World. And like, you have to do the backlot tour. If you're going to go to Universal, it takes like an hour to get through the backlot tour because you're in line for 20 minutes. The tour is like 25 minutes. It's not short. You go on this tram ride. And then the tram has some weird stuff built into it. So like there's like a King Kong tunnel, but it's super lame. They need to get rid of it.
Earthquake and...
Yeah, the earthquake's actually pretty cool, although it's very like 1970s movie, but it's cool.
It's 1990s because like I remember when they first put that in. Like we went to it and... did all that.
Oh, that's cool. They had a Fast and Furious thing last time I was there, which was okay.
Yes, they had that too with the dancing cars.
No, they replaced the car scene with a whole like tunnel you go in and a movie plays and all this stuff. They replaced the car bit, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because the dancing car thing, I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, the car, there was like a car crash reenactment or something.
Oh, yeah, and then they always have to do Jaws. And
Jaws,
then there's
Psycho.
Flash flood thing.
They have Norman Bates come out and chase the car. Yep. And it just depends what else is going on, because like they used to have the Desperate Housewives street was there, and there was, because
yes,
they do shoot things there. The Voice shoots at Universal Hollywood, I think. And they would always talk about that. So anyway, sorry, I don't mean to turn this into a theme park podcast. Dr. C says, whatever happened to the explicit Disney podcast? I would so still do something like that. But like theme parks are, I'm going to be explicit, fucking expensive. So that's it. Traveling around to the theme parks is the challenge with that, to be honest. So anyway, all right, let's move on. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and things that will be out faster than we can get to Universal Studios Hollywood.
Not much this week, because of course, you know, it being previously E3 week, but not quite E3 week, there's not a lot coming out. So let's see. We've got,
there'll probably be some today releases with Summer Game Fest.
Yeah, some digital stuff. So we have Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords on Nintendo Switch, The Cycle Frontier on PC. We have Even If Tempest on Nintendo Switch, Tour de France 22 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yabai, the Hinokami Chronicles on Nintendo Switch, Mario Strikers Battle League on Nintendo Switch, Metal Max Xeno Reborn on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4, and last but not least, The Quarry on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series.
Going over to Japan and checking out the releases there on the Nintendo Switch this week, we have Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, Hinokami Kaputan comes out this week. That is in Japan, regular and limited edition. A game called Clap! ! With a K. So it's K-L-A-P. And I was disappointed to find out this game is not about clapping, but it is. It looks like it's another dating sim, to be quite. I don't know if it's based on anime or what, but apparently this is a whole like... But it's, I think it's a female protagonist where you date men, is what I believe this one is. So that's fun.
And you get the clap.
Yeah, you do not get the clap as part of the game. I don't know what KLAP stands for. Perhaps, yeah. Anyway, moving on. What else do we have in Japan this week? We have, Mario Strikers Battle League is a worldwide release, of course. So it is out in Japan this week as well. So really, that's about it for the Switch. On the PlayStation 5, nothing. Oh, no. The Quarry actually would be this week. So that game also gets a Japanese release this week, which is, I can't imagine it's localized for Japan, but I will point out it's published by Take-Two over there instead of 2K.
That's the same thing.
Yeah, which is, why do they put it under different labels, though? That's weird.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe they don't know 2K over there. All right. Anyway. Let's move on. How about the UK?
We've got Spellforce 3 Rebound. That's coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox Series. We have Ikai on PlayStation 4 and 5 and Nintendo Switch. Metal Max Xeno Reborn on PlayStation and the Switch. Mario Strikers Battle League on Nintendo Switch. Demon Slayer on Nintendo Switch. Also getting The Quarry on PlayStation and Xbox as well. And that's it.
There's a lot of people I know that are super excited about that Quarry game because...
Yeah, it's a spiritual successor to Until Dawn. Which, give me a Quarry Rush of Blood, please.
Which is weird because Until Dawn, that whole... What do they call that universe? There's other games that have already come out in that universe.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. God damn it, I can't remember the name. Somebody in chat will beat me to it. But it's the whole, like, there's a whole universe where, and there's other games that have come out in that, but they have not really seemed to catch wind the way Until Dawn did. So this seems to be like the true, like, spiritual successor to the game. There was a VR game that they put out. What the hell was it called?
Crush of Blood.
No, a different one that was more like Until Dawn with the choices and stuff.
Oh,
it's going to bug me until I figure out what that game is called.
Butterfly? No, that's not Butterfly Effect. That's a game mechanic. Let's see. Don't know.
Now I need to look at like what Supermassive Games did.
Was it House of Ashes?
Yes, House of Ashes, I think, was one of them that they did. The Dark Pictures Anthology, Manamadan. That's what I was thinking. There were other, House of Ashes. It's Dark Pictures Anthology. That's what I was trying to think of. So
got it.
There we go. Phew, that was going to bother me until I knew what it was. All right. All right, let's get into some more news. More bundles. Games for great causes on the cheap, right, Loki?
Yes, we have the Queer Games bundle is going to be coming out on itch.io and is a collection of 500 plus games that you can get for $60. So that's going to be benefiting, I guess, the money is going to the LGBTQ developers who made the 500 games. I don't think they're donating it to anything else, but it's good to support them. What else? I want to see what games are in here, if there's anything I recognize.
Well, and honestly, maybe the fact that you don't recognize something is part of the reason why a bundle can really help bring visibility to the games. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Lots of games to look through.
Yeah. I want to see, I just saw a link in chat here. So let me check it out here. Cause I actually didn't know about this fundraiser. And I'm curious if I recognize anything here. I swear somebody linked this Parmesan game on Twitter. An 8-bit story about a non-binary person being bullied for being who they are. I'm almost positive somebody I know who's non-binary was talking about that game.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have my winner of the bundle here, Crime Frog.
Crime Frog? That sounds fun.
Yes, opposite of Frog Detective. You're a frog that commits crimes. Or there's also Wrapped Your Boyfriend.
Oh, I like this. Look at this. There's a game called X Purrs. Oh, no, is that the name of the game? Yeah. X Purrs Online X. Chat with your online cat friends. That's perfect. Perfect. Yeah, I'll pick up this bundle for sure.
Yes, there's lots of interesting things in here.
Awesome. Oh, no, SG100 Matt sent the wrong link. Oh, he sent me the 2021 bundle. Dick. No, I'm just kidding. It's fine. He was getting me all excited about these games.
It's this one.
All right. That's all right. Let me see what I noticed in the 2022. All right. Well, you know what? It doesn't take away from anything I said about those other games.
Crime Frog. That's really what it's
about.
But
I don't reckon. Actually, I do notice there are a lot of games from the 2021 bundle that are here too. What's this sock puppet song and dance? Oh, it's songs and step charts for Stepmania. That's fun. That's a cute add-on.
What?
Duck.
They have.
Yeah, sock puppet song and dance. There's something called Duck Duck Swap. Are you a duck or a duck or a duck? I like that. A game called Three Lesbians in a Barrow. You know exactly what you're going to get with that. I love it. All right, I'll check this out. Sorry, I know me scrolling through a list does not make for the most exciting radio, but I was like genuinely curious what was in this. Oh, Virginia Wolfenstein, but with two O's. See, that's funny.
Well, here's another one. Here we go. Lepofic Crime. It is a cat-based stealth game set in a museum.
And there's another cat game here called Screams and Queens, but it's a tabletop RPG, but it stars cat pageant queens at a spooky school. I'm in.
I like the amount of cat games in this.
See, people,
can we get a cat games bundle?
Gays love cats, like, and I'm saying that with firsthand experience. Here's the thing. People try to get me to play D&D, and I'm always like, yeah, D&D's cool, but like, I don't know. I'm kind of, but like, if you invite me over, like, don't invite me over to play D&D. Invite me over to play Cat Pageant Queens tabletop RPG, and then I'll be like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm in. Tell me more. People. All right. Thanks for the heads up about the bundle, though. Sounds great. What else do we have, Loki?
All right. And then we also have Tell Me Why is free to download now on Xbox and PC in celebration of Pride Month. So you can get that via the Microsoft Store or Steam. So that's pretty cool. Also, Xbox Publishing is going to be donating $25,000 to each of the Transgender Law Center and Trans Lifeline.
Awesome. And that's a good, I haven't played through the entire series, but I really liked the first episode and I just need to finish it. But, you know, my attention span won't let me do those types of things. So, yeah, check it out.
Yeah. And then we've got news that Junichi Masuda is leaving the Pokemon company. Leaving Game Freak for a role at the Pokemon company.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I've served as the director of the Pokemon video game series, starting with Pokemon Ruby version, Pokemon Sapphire version, up until Pokemon X and Y, and was involved in the development of many video games, including Pokemon Go. I would like to express my heartfelt thanks to all the Pokemon fans going forward. I hope to transcend the boundaries of video games by trying to offer greater surprises, fun, and excitement to people all over the world, while doing my utmost to connect people, expand the circle of play, and help bring about a richer world for us to share. I appreciate your continued support in my new role. And what is that new role? He's going to be, let's see, I don't know. He's going to be doing something.
Well, if he's moving to the general Pokemon company as opposed to just Game Freak, you imagine that he's on these Pokemon projects that aren't just the video games. Because, you know, keep in mind, Pokemon's a fucking brand, right? It's the anime. Yeah. It's the stuffed toys. It's the movies. It's everything, right? And to hear him talk about new experiences is that maybe it is something beyond just a game as we think of it. I don't know. My brain kind of goes to AR type of experiences because I feel AR, because it's like you hear Niantic talking a lot about that too. Not that I'm saying that necessarily, like, you know, well, Pokemon Go already
he's going to be the chief creative fellow.
So, okay. So he's responsible for coming up with new ideas for where Pokemon's going next. And I think that's very evident in what he's saying in his statement too, is that he wants to go beyond just a video game. He wants to do what the Katamari Damacy guy did and make a playground. That's what he wants, to make a Pikachu playground.
Yeah, but he came back to games. There's only so many playgrounds you can do before you get bored of that. That's a hobby thing, and then you go back to what you know.
Yeah, but I think that's what it is. Is it's about kind of like doing things other than just the game, but like realizing a fun thing in other ways, and it's probably just playing with new technology to see where that might be.
Okay.
Or they're reviving Pokemon Sleep, and maybe he's going on that. Who knows? It's worth a shot.
He's going on sleep. I'm taking a sleep from now until in the future.
No, Pokemon Sleep, remember?
Yeah, exactly. I understand that, but in order to test Pokemon Sleep, you have to sleep.
Yes, an apple lot. Yeah. SSG 100 Matt says Pokemon theme park in North America, please. Honestly, would any of us be sad if that's what he's doing? No, I don't think any of us would be sad. A Pokemon theme park, sign me the fuck up.
Don't they already have those in Japan?
I think so. They have like Pokemon centers for sure too. That's basically the store. They've got to have a whole theme park. I'm surprised the Nintendo partnership with Universal doesn't turn into that.
But I think that they're expanding on that. So like Nintendo Land,
to correct myself, technically Nintendo doesn't own Pokemon. The Pokemon company owns Pokemon, right? So it gets into those nuances.
I get that.
Right, yeah.
But like I think though that they were supposed to be expanding to like a Donkey Kong country
thing.
Yeah,
the Japan one is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so I don't know, we'll see.
I would love a Pokemon theme park. I would even travel to like North Dakota for a Pokemon theme park, or like a state that's like not really on my must go, Montana. Let's fucking go. Like I'll go to a place that's not usually at the top of my
travel list. They can have Pokemon Snap IRL.
Now you're fucking talking. Absolutely.
That's the game you need. Yeah.
All right. Before we get to the listener roundtable, let's talk about Super Bomberman R and how they are ending the online service. It's Super Bomberman R Online, which I believe is a separate release than the Super Bomberman R that originally came out for Nintendo Switch. They did a Super Bomberman R Online in May of 2021. So it hasn't even been a year, and the plug's getting pulled. I'm sorry, it has been 1 year. Excuse me, 1 year. So. Dr. Sue says, yeah, it's the free-to-play one. Why is Konami closing this? This is Konami. But on the record, they've said the series is moving forward with new projects, and they want to show off something soon, and says, thanks for the support of the series. However, go to hell. We're pulling the plug. No, they didn't say that second part, but that's what it feels like to fans of Super Bomberman R Online. But here's my question. How many people were actually still playing that game? And I'm not talking about the original Super Bomberman R. How many people were actually playing that online game? Which, wasn't that a Stadia thing, too? I swear that was a thing they announced for Stadia right around that time, too.
It may have been.
I'm Googling it right now. Yes, it is. It was a Stadia thing. Because I think Stadia was really hyping that up when it originally came out on that as well. So, RIP in peace. That's it for the news that we have scheduled tonight. Now we'd like to invite you guys to participate with the show. If you'd like to call us in our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/discord. That's vognetwork.com/discord. And in the green room is the place you can go to get in on the show. You can send us an email if you like, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. I don't think we have any emails tonight, sad face, but maybe next week we will get some. Thank you. Orange Right is saying what I thought was the case. It started as a Stadia exclusive, and it went to other consoles eventually. Because Stadia still has a Pac-Man game that's exclusive, don't they?
But I thought Bomberman, it wasn't an exclusive, though, wasn't it? Also on the Switch? I thought that was a Switch launch title.
It was eventually, but no, there was a Super Bomberman R on the Switch. There was that. This is a online free-to-play thing that's basically the same fucking thing. It's Bomberman, Loki. You know how much that game's evolved over the years? Not that much. So that Bomberman Online specific one was Stadia first, and then when Stadia kind of didn't have enough players, they released it to other places too. All right, we do have somebody waiting in the green room. It's a frequent call. It's a serial caller to OLR, but we love to hear from this caller. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? And they popped right back to the green room. Awesome. Let's try again. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hello there. Hi. Good friend.
Hi, how are you?
No, I'm fine. How about you?
Good. It's the one and only Rama, everybody. How are you? Good?
I'm good.
What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, Robinson Roberts. You and I need to have a little talk, young man.
Don't you call me by my full name.
I just did, and there's a reason why I did.
Why is that? What did I do? Oh, is this last week? Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I was gone for the whole weekend, you know, Memorial Day, off having a good time.
Anime convention? How dare you?
Actually, no.
I thought it was. I thought there was a big anime con last week.
There was 3 to 4 major anime conventions last weekend. I spent it with a friend, but I have to come back into Discord, you know, after work and all that. And I was told to listen to last week's show and a DDR challenge.
Mm-hmm. That's right. YYR called into the show last week and basically was like, hey, Rama, you got served. And is it on? It's on?
No.
Okay. Tell me how you reacted to hearing that whole thing last week.
I was just amused because I was talking about throwing together DDR for us older folk, like some of the more of the classic songs from DDR that's no longer there that today's generation have no idea. I've heard of, like, Have You Ever Been Mellow? You know, some of the greats.
Have you ever suffered through Keep On Moving? I don't think you have. I'm sorry. Sorry. That song is fine. Wow. I'm definitely getting old. I'm sorry. Let Them Move was the song I meant to say. Have you ever suffered through Let Them Move? Have you ever suffered through Let Them Move? I don't think you have.
Yeah, I've suffered.
I know you have. I'm just saying these young kids today.
They don't know. But the main reason why I am not accepting YYR's challenge is because years ago, I couldn't even pass max 300 on basic. What makes them think that I could do it now?
Because you're good enough, you're strong enough, and doggone it, people like you.
Which is true, but scientific fact knows that my endurance can't make me do it. Because if I do it, you're going to need to have 911 on speed dial, an oxygen tank, and a cart nearby, okay? Because I am going to either collapse halfway through the step chart, or you're going to drag me off.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to say this to YYR's credit, actually. Although, yes, this is a very lofty challenge with a lofty goal. To me, I really put this on the same level as I'm going to train to run a marathon, not walk a marathon, run a marathon. That is that is kind of literally what the ask is here on the physical level. I mean, you know, some would argue the ins and outs of it, but I would say it's very similar to basically saying, hey, Rama, I want you to train to run a marathon, which is, it's a very lofty goal, but that it's going to take some work. It takes a bit of training. You do have to build up your stamina and so forth. I do applaud. Of course, I love YYR. I love that he calls into the show and so forth. And I do applaud his effort behind that, you know, and trying to get people to us old assholes to get more physically active. And yes, he's a good example of you can be 40 and still do this shit. And I think probably he's sick of hearing you and me say, no, we can't. No, we can't. He's sitting here going, yes, you fucking can. Shut up, baby. I'm putting words in his mouth, but essentially that's what he's saying. So I on that level, I completely respect that, like, you know, you got to work for it and get, but it's just, you know, do we have the time to do that? Now, Rama, I think for me and where I'm at, I'm a little more apt to try this challenge because I've already, thanks to things that happened to me personally 6 months ago, have been making diet changes and weight changes. And, you know, I've talked about how I've lost 50 pounds over the last, you know, 9 months, which is a huge life accomplishment, right? But that means that my body's already, and I can see it in the heart meter when I walk. It used to be that my heart rate was really high when I walk. Now, my heart rate when I'm like walking is like not going up very much at all, which is actually showing me I probably need to get more physical activity. My only problem is I don't really have a DDR machine near me anymore. I mean, I'm hoping that the Roseville round one opens, but even then you're talking about a machine that's going to be like 30 minutes away from me. It's on the other side of Sacramento, literally.
Well, I totally hear you on that. Now, where I work, which is like 10 blocks from Times Square, there's a Dave & Buster's right there. I can go there. Now, the new one in Brooklyn, also that one is on my way home. I actually said to a friend of mine when we went to go play, we should do this every Friday night, you know, because personally, when I went to Dave & Buster's with all five of my power cards and had them put together, I think I have a total of over 100 tickets and 180 chips all together. So I'm like, all they're doing is collecting dust. So I will sit and I will do this. I will do three runs and then go home. Have me some water, have me some tea. And if I did some really good, I'll go to the bar and have me a rum and coke and be like, damn it, I deserve this. Now, I hear you about the round one being a half hour away. It would be one thing if you were driving back and forth and it's long the way, you know.
And I just I could also go to Loki's house to use a DDR machine.
Further away.
Loki's even further away.
You know, well, you know, you look, Rob, you know Stepmania, right?
Yeah.
Do you have DDR pads in your house?
Not anymore.
Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I could. Yeah. Maybe.
Why
maybe.
Not? I'm just saying between me and your darling husband, we probably have enough PC parts to build together a simple machine with all the step charts, and you probably know somebody that you could borrow a hard pad from, plug it in, and roll with it.
Hubby and I have birthdays coming up, and we're looking at, get this, this is how gay we are. Matching PCs. We're going to get matching PCs. We're also at that age, Rama, where we're just like, just pay the other people to build the PCs and send them to us in a box.
No. I that's far from a gay thing to do. That's a gaming thing to do. I actually know couples who have their gaming machines right next to each other. I'm the type of person where, no, move your rig further away. I need all this space. But, you know. I think that's wonderful.
So ironically, this machine here could be a Stepmania machine if I really want it to be.
Well, there you go. If you're getting, I'm just saying, if you're getting brand new PCs across the board, you can move OLR Studio all the software to the new PC, retrofit the old machine with the DDR pad, Dark Tetsuya probably has all of the step charts. He's probably chilling in your backyard, you know, in the trench coat, opening it up like, I got all the mixes right here. What you need? What you need?
I just also realized I literally have a Mac Mini that now does nothing. If we want to take OLR Mobile again at some point, I guess it's there. But yeah, now I have a Mac Mini paperweight at this point. So there's also that.
Yeah, you know, that too.
We'll see.
Possibilities are right there. You know, I say why not? I
mean, it's worth thinking about. Because then I think about, oh, but this room is upstairs. It might make a lot of noise. But then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. The downstairs neighbor is me. Because we live in a townhouse where we have like our living areas downstairs and upstairs is the bedrooms. So yeah,
even better. And I mean, like, you might as well just take it a step further. Not just put Step Mania on there. See if you can emulate Guitar Freaks and Beat Mania and throw it on there. Why not? You know.
All right, you got me thinking. I'm gonna say that you've got me thinking.
All I did was I just got a micro ITX board. And a Ryzen, I think it was a Ryzen 3 with an APU. And then just like maybe 4 gigs of RAM. It's like you don't really need anything. And then just an SSD. You know, it's all in just like a tiny board. And that's it.
Yeah. One drive to boot the OS, another drive with all the mixes and the step.
All right, you got me thinking. We'll see.
I mean, Rob, if you play this right, the only money you'll be spending is getting hard pads. That's it.
Yeah, no, that's right, because then it's something I could hook up on USB or something. Yeah, for sure. All right, y'all have me thinking. I will neither confirm nor deny, but I'm thinking.
You just have to drop a few $1,000 to get an SMX machine, and then you're all good.
I will say every time, you know, because I'm friends with Kyle on Facebook, as I think probably a lot of longtime music game people are. Every time he posts a song list update, I'm like, Jesus, this game. And that's a good Jesus, this game. Like, that's a good
this
thing.
Week, man. It's all been electric callboy, man.
He fucking got Desire, which is Naoki's, you know, one of his a new Desire song, like Sugaru from the old school DDR days. Like, there's a new one of those in the game now, and I'm like, Jesus, this game. So Bobby does say, make sure it's on the bottom floor of your house so you don't shake the ceiling, and therein is kind of the problem because the bottom is already kind of spoken for. So I don't know, because the bottom is also the kitchen. So, but we'll see. Never say never. I'm not sure yet.
Okay, and when you do go through all of this, make sure you get yourself a nice pair of Skechers.
Well, that's not a problem. I already buy. It's like everything I wear is Skechers or Aldo, so that part's easy.
There you go.
All right. So challenge officially declined, but possibly me accepting some form of the challenge. We'll see.
Now, DDR Club, where we play every week and trade off what we've been doing, sure, you know?
Yeah, I wish there was a Step Mania machine near here, because then we could do the whole app thing. And because they got a, it's just, it's built smarter, I think, than DDR.
The only one I know of is in Rockland. And that's,
oh, do they have one at the Strikes?
Yeah, they have one at the bowling alley there. Yeah, the Strikes.
Oh, well, that's like 45 minutes from me, but at least it's like right on the
I haven't highway. Played it in a long time, but they had it there the last time I was there.
Oh, I need to go out there some.
Pre-COVID, so.
I need to go out there some weekday when the kids aren't there.
It was pretty dead when we went out there, but even on the weekend.
All right. Interesting.
DT just came up with something. A weekly set list or something that's not full of heavy charts. You know, he may want to join in.
All right. We'll see.
DDR Club.
DDR Club. All right. It's a cute idea. I'm into it. We'll see. We'll see. When I get the rig, we'll see. I'll see who's on board for a DDR Club.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on your mind tonight, Rama?
That's it, but check your phone in the next 5 minutes. I'm sending you something.
Okay, I will.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks in advance, whatever it is. All right, I think.
Unless you're gonna like this.
Okay, good. I'm like, it's something I'm gonna like, right? Okay, okay. All right, always is good to hear from you, Rama. Anime Jam session on Tuesday. Go hear about the 500 anime conventions that happened nationwide this weekend.
Most definitely. Oh, yeah. And Dragon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba, it's a fighting game. It's actually pretty good. I have it.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Mm-hmm. All right. Take care, my friend.
All right. Take care, y'all.
Bye. All right. Always good to hear from Rama. We can probably squeeze in another call if anyone wants to call in, or if you have anything you would like to ask us about in chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. You might want to get that out there before I decide I'm done waiting. Loki, any last minute stories you want to get into?
No, Fortnite ended its second season. So now they're on season 3.
Oh, was that the big event that happened yesterday?
Chapter 3. Yeah. And now they have like their chapter 3 is Vibin, which I don't understand what the gameplay is there, but they have like Indiana Jones and there's lots of dancing and these like ball things that you can ride in.
Just in the name.
And you can ride wolves.
Honestly, I think it's that they're trying to get people to go to Fortnite just to vibe and not necessarily even play a game. It's trying to expand on the social elements. Like, and I literally know nothing besides what you just said. I'm almost like, just based on, we've heard that like Fortnite is trying to expand into more of like a pop culture type of thing. Thinking about the Ariana Grande concert and the multiple concerts that have been in there. This, it probably is just to get people in there to not actually play a game and just vibe.
Don't play our game.
They should have called it Cool Vibes Only. Or Chill Vibes Only. I don't know.
Chill Vibes Only.
Yeah. Is that it?
That's it.
That's it. All right, well, that's it for calls. That's it from chat. So that's it for the show. Oh, wait, I have to see what this is that I got texted. Oh, this is cute. Interesting. Okay. Wouldn't you like to know? All right. I'll say it's a book. He sent me a picture of a book. I was like, I didn't even know that was a book. All right. Let's see. I do want to read the Reggie Fils-Aimé book, though. Because that would have come out by now, right? Because I know he's been out promoting it.
Yeah, I think so. He's been promoting it. Yeah,
I'm gonna check it out. Yeah. All right. That is gonna do it for another episode of Orange Lodge Radio. Thank you so much for downloading our show and checking us out. We appreciate you tuning in. If you enjoyed what you heard here at the show, tell a friend or two or five about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices here to diversify the opinions that we're putting out on air. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes, Spotify, wherever it is you picked up the show, is a great place to do that. That's it. We go around and get the final thoughts now and wrap it all up. I can't believe it's 20 years this month that we've been doing OLR. Wowie wow. We hope to see you back here on the 26th when we officially acknowledge 20 years on the air. Dark Sakura should be back next week. We'll hear about her adventures across country. Let's get to our last final thoughts. Loki, your final thought tonight.
So my final thought is that I've got, so my next SMP that I'm starting here pretty soon. So it's on with a new group of people. Doing a very awesome theme already, kind of a bit of a spoiler for myself. It's going to be Mega Man themed. So I'm building stuff in Minecraft and Mega Man. But here's the best part, though. I'm creating 8 brand new robot masters, all based on Minecraft stuff. And each one of them has their own unique soundtrack for their stage. And I have 5 of the songs already. And they're so awesome. They're so awesome. Some of the best chiptune music ever. So stay tuned for that.
All right. Let's see. My final thought is I don't know. I gotta play more. I gotta catch up on my backlog. I kind of want to rearrange this room as well. I want to do that and maybe move a TV up here for some of my consoles. I don't know. I'm thinking the gears are turning. It's a dangerous thing. All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Have a wonderful night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Dark Sakura will be here, and we're going to have, what, Summer Game Fest to talk about? We're going to have the Microsoft event is Sunday morning to talk about. There's going to be some big shit this week, so it's going to be exciting. So we'll see you next week for an exciting episode of Orange Lounge Radio. See you next time. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.